Welcome to a new edition of Gay Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Gay Miz with a Z Conduct. And we're going to be joined in a little bit by our guest, the VP of Game Presentation for the Tampa Bay Lightning, John Franzone, who I've had the pleasure of working with a little bit before. And he's a fantastic person. I love him.
He's very, very nice.
And so we're kind of, you know, seeing more of the ins and outs of what happens at games. Because you just walk in the arena and you're like, oh yeah, this is fun. This is cool. But there's a lot of work that goes into it. So we've got some questions for him to kind of see the behind the scenes. But before we get into that, let's talk about the LA Kings game, mm-hmm. the last home game of January, believe it or not.
Isn't that wild?
It's crazy. Like, I don't have another home game on my, like, tickets until February 4th, I think
Holy
it is.
Holy heck.
So, but there is a bye week and a NHL All-Star break in there, which, by the way, since we talked last, Pekka Rinne backed out. Andre Vasilevsky, next guy in. So
It should be Vasilevsky, I think.
Yeah. So we'll have two there now.
Yay.
as of right now when we're recording this. So congratulations, Andre Vasilevsky. But let's talk about the LA game.
Yeah, we have another congratulations we can hand out.
Yeah.
Alex Volkov.
Yep.
Scored his first NHL point.
Yeah, with the assist on one of those goals.
And it was a beaut.
It was good.
Say.
It was good. Wish he hadn't gotten those two penalties later. But he's still learning and he still contributed, so I can't complain.
No.
Much. So, congratulations. That's awesome. But the team went down two mm-hmm. early. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh boy, this is not going to be fun.
Then but it was fun.
Tied it up.
Yeah.
Second half of that first period. And then it just kind of happened.
Yeah.
It's kind of, and then, you know, we get a no goal. It just,
You don't do
well. It
was
exhausting
Yeah,
for
I was going to say, you don't do well in those situations, but...
And then a overtime,
yeah.
And we're on a power play,
yeah.
And we had some great chances, and then we go to a shootout, which I don't do well with those either.
Mm-hmm. And then beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful shot by yeah. Stamkos.
Yeah, that was... It was pretty.
It was so Steven Stamkos.
Yep.
I don't even know how else to put it. Like, I feel like not many players in the league...
No.
Can pull that off.
No, that's a Stamkos original.
I think there's some that could do it, yeah. But not with
not
the
as pretty.
Smoothness. I mean.
Yeah. Not as pretty.
No.
And the Nikita Kucherov goal was pretty as well.
Yeah. It was. I mean, they really had some lovely, real nice, clean,
mm-hmm.
very, highlight reel
mm-hmm.
stuff going on. Just, you know, falling down 2-0 and having to go to a shootout against the Kings.
Not ideal.
Not ideal.
But Jonathan Quick, still a really good goaltender.
I think so.
And you know what's funny? Since our conversation with Diana Neros from the Tampa Bay Times, mm-hmm. I've really been paying attention to, yes, they are playing playoff hockey right now. Mm-hmm. Like a playoff-style hockey now.
Yeah.
And I hadn't thought of it in that way before.
Until she brought it up.
And yeah. I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
Also, another congratulations to Alex Killorn, because in that
yes.
LA Kings game, he scored his 19th goal of the season, which I think is a record for him. Regular season record, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. but he's just like contributing like right and left
yeah.
here.
He took over, you know, the lead
yeah.
That night for your, and it's like, what?
Yeah, no. So he's playing really well
he's
as well.
He's playing really, really nice hockey.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games this year. I feel that sometimes watching that it was, you know, Killorn was at times the best player on the ice.
Yeah. So, great job from Alex Killorn as well. So it's not been bad. We snapped that 10-game win streak and then, you know, the LA Kings game. And we'll talk about the games later in the week after we speak with our guest here. But the LA Kings game was an interesting one for me.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to fall behind that early.
Right.
They're a heavy team. And we're still missing Pat Maroon for mm-hmm. that game. And we're still mm-hmm. missing Ryan McDonough for that game,
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like we really missed Pat Maroon in that game.
Yeah, I think...
Especially with LA, because they are a big, heavy team.
They are. And sometimes you think, when we get these players mm-hmm. in, and we talk about, oh, how big Pat Maroon's presence is on the ice. I mean, he's a big guy. Mm-hmm. But he also carries, I think, a large presence.
Yes.
You don't realize until he's not in the game, and you're facing bigger guys that you're yeah. used to facing. And then it's like, oh. So sometimes it's not the stat sheet.
No.
It's not always what they talk about in the, you know, the goal leaders or assist leaders or anything like that. Sometimes it's just having that presence.
Yep.
They still won.
Yep.
But yeah, it looked like they needed to adjust a little bit with him missing.
Yeah. So new piece to the team this year, but I feel like he's a real important linchpin piece. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So we're going to jump right in with our only guest.
How many guests do we have?
We don't. It's my multiple personality disorder. I'm two people in my head. So, you know, we're going to speak now with John Franzone, VP of Game Presentation for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Hey, John, how are you doing?
How are you?
Very well. I've had the pleasure, I said before earlier on this episode, that I've had the pleasure of working with you when I would fill in every once in a while on the plaza. So this has kind of been a long time coming. We've wanted to have you on for a really long time, and I'm so happy we were able to make it happen.
Well, happy to do it for you.
All right. So we've kind of been delving into the world of what happens to kind of put on a game that you see. And, you know, a lot of people, I feel like it's so seamless that they think, oh, it just happens. But you're kind of the conductor behind everything. So can you kind of give us an idea of how long you've been with the team and how did your journey take you to becoming the VP of Game Presentation Production?
Oh, my gosh. How much time do we have?
We have a while.
I've been here 12 years now. It's my 12th season with the Lightning, which is unfathomable because I started my career as a baseball guy, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
And I was with the Yankees for about 10 seasons. And that's where I sort of learned the tools of the trade. And it was kind of, at that time, you were kind of an army of one mm-hmm. or two when you produced a show for In Bowl. It was kind of a new thing. Mm-hmm. So teams and organizations really didn't put a high value on it. They knew they had to make a little bit of revenue with it, but it wasn't the priority, or a priority, I should say. And over time, it's kind of grown. So as I transitioned from my Yankee position to a position with the Rays, and I was there 10 years, I kind of went from being the guy making the graphics to the guy building a team to make the graphics and produce the show and pick the music and all that. And so it developed that way. And then after 10 seasons with the Rays, had the opportunity to come over here to the Lightning in 2008 and have built up a team here that is just a blessing to work with. You know, we have so much fun, and it's just a pleasure to be able to use the platform that Mr. Vinnick and our organization gives us to put on a show for, a great fan base and a always developing fan base that really only has two or three generations under its belt. So it's been cool to kind of watch the Lightning fan base grow and become more hockey savvy is probably a best way to say it. And then, when I got here, that Lightning logo, it was you knew there was a Cup championship behind it, but that work stoppage kind of diffused it a little bit. So if you were in Tampa Bay at the time, you knew it was the Lightning logo. But now that Lightning logo, when you see it, it stands for so much more, and that's due to what Mr. Vinnick has done with both the facility and the team and the community. And you draw that triangle, and it's just been amazing to see how that was the foundation to take the brand to where it is right now. And I'm just fortunate to be along for the ride. So it's been really cool now to supervise a team that helps support that foundation. And that's kind of how I view my role.
So, and like kind of how I think of you, because I'll see you up in the 300 level and you're like conducting everything. Like you are just like the conductor of an orchestra. So
you're not wrong. I mean, if you think about it, you know, it looks like one show and you say it's seamless or it comes off as seamless. That's the best compliment because we want to be invisible, right?
Right.
Orchestra is a great sort of parallel because we want to be, for lack of a phrase, the music behind the game, all right? Like, we want to enhance the game. We don't want to be center stage saying, look at us. We want to use the game as – the game's always the thing, and if we don't respect that, then we're being foolish. So we want to be there to enhance the game, increase your entertainment value, make you feel like you got a little bit more out of your game ticket than just a hockey game, but we never want to be disrespectful to the game. Sometimes we try to push that bubble, and you know, either it's a success or a failure. But generally speaking, that's our philosophy as producers. There are other teams who kind of like, you know, push that envelope and try to be risky and say, "Hey, look at us! Look how goofy or how silly we're being." But that's not our style. If you've come to the games, you kind of know that. We'll get a little goofy every now and then, but nothing that's outside of our purview in terms of what our philosophy is. So, yeah, I'm a conductor, and it's seamless, and it feels like one piece, but behind the scenes, we have close to 60 people on a crew, from the guys and gals in the control room, punching up all the video and the graphics for all the screens and displays, stage managers down front helping get people on and off the ice, Greg, our MC, Paul, our PA, the mascot, the blue crew shooting the T-shirts into the stands, our audio guys, 5 lighting guys, camera guys. You add it all up, and it's a mini army of people who have one goal in mind, and that's to put on a good show.
So really, besides what's happening on the ice as far as the game, the 20 minutes each period, that's all you?
Well, I always say our job is I'm responsible for everything that interrupts the game. And I say that as a joke because that it's counter to what I just said. We basically are alive from the second, even before the doors open, to the last thing you see when you're walking across the plaza on the way to your car, visually, sensorily. So we try to make sure that there's no gap or no stoppage or no lull in that flow. We also want to be consistent with what you know of the Lightning outside of this building. So your journey here, when you see a billboard or you see a paper ad or you see a TV spot, when you get in the building, we sort of take it from there. You know, you're welcomed out on the plaza. As you know, hosting up on that stage, we open the doors in sort of a grand fashion where we count you down to game night. And frankly, that's an idea I swiped from Disney because they do that at Epcot.
Yeah.
Or they used to anyway. So, you know, there's sort of a flow, and it doesn't just happen inside. So we kind of start the show outside in a basic form where you have a host. He's getting you pumped up, band or DJ, and some sights and sounds and colors and interactions. And, you know, on first responders night the other night, you would have thought it was a set for a TV police drama because there were crime vehicles everywhere and ambulances and stuff. And, you know, so we try to make sure we stay in the theme of the night too. And then that, like last night, we did Gasparilla just because we're not home later in the month. So we figured let's have a pirate game before the big Tampa Bay holiday. So we also try to stretch our crack our knuckles that way. But we just want it to be immersive and seamless. And that's kind of the mindset.
And so you mentioned the first responders night, the Gasparilla night. How do you guys come up with all these ideas to keep things fresh? Because I feel like every time I walk in there, I see something new.
We try to. You know, we go back to when the schedule comes out in the summer, you know, a good handful of us will meet and sort of craft what the theme nights are going to be. Mm-hmm. Military night generally falls around Veterans Week, Halloween generally, you know, a lot of it is holiday based. The holidays figure into, you know, let's consider Gasparilla Tampa Bay holiday, Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day. And then you start adding up. You know, we tried a 90s night this year, which typically we don't do decade nights.
That was so much fun,
by the way. Yeah, and we just wanted to do that, and we used – but, again, we want to keep it team-centric, so we used Espo's sort of birth of the franchise as the platform to launch into that night, and it worked great. And it was kind of my own internal personal test for next year's 30th anniversary of the team being born. So, you know, I guess folks out there can kind of count on that being blown up a little bit more into a bigger show next year. But we will craft that from the beginning of, I don't know, let's say end of June, early July, and massage it and work it through with our partnership people upstairs, assign the right corporate partners to the certain nights. And then there'll be A themes, B themes, C themes, you know, so that there are certain levels of time and effort that have to go into these, because time is our most precious resource. So, you know, we try to manage it that way. So, you know, at the end of the planning sessions, we'll have maybe 20 to 21 dates where there's something either unique or a spin or different, you know, ranging from that incredible Medal of Honor night that we did back in October to last night with being goofy with pirate graphics.
We're going to take a quick break and be back with more from John Franzone, VP of Game Presentation Production for the Tampa Bay Lightning, here on Game Misconduct. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory, and we are joined by John Franzone, VP of Game Presentation Production for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's talk about one of the other things that is somewhat new, the organ. It's one of the longest, most incredible traditions in the NHL, but, you know, we hear it, and I don't think about how that was when you guys rolled it out. It was like this big thing, and not a lot of arenas have them anymore. And so can you just kind of talk about, like, how do you incorporate that into your in-game presentation, and where do you find these organists too? Because they, I don't feel like there are a lot of people deciding they want to play the organ these days.
You know, we're lucky. Our guy, Christoph, is just, he's a fabulous person before anything else. He's just one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. And he's also an amazingly talented person. And Christoph, we were lucky to come across. He was working at Disney, and one of my former crewmates here, he said, I don't know, I can't remember how the dots were connected, but we shook hands with Christoph, and he wasn't nearly as much a hockey guy at the time as he was a musician, just an incredibly talented musician who could, by the way, play the organ like an octopus. Like, you got to play with your feet. Everybody forgets that.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So he came in, auditioned for us, and he was playing everything from progressive rock to classic rock to Lady Gaga, right into Rachmaninoff and Bach. And I'm like, holy moly. We gotta get this guy on board. So it worked out. He's been with us now 7 years, and that's, you hit the nail on the head. He's the guy who has to bring this beast to life. It's an amazing instrument. I'm floored every time I take somebody up there, or I go up there myself and just marvel at how he's able to navigate all these different keys and buttons and switches, and he really takes his job seriously. So knowing that you got a you know, we bought the NASCAR. We needed the NASCAR driver, so to speak. So now you can really push this instrument. So he takes us through the whole gamut of music. And then during the pregame, we give him that good two-minute window where it's just him. It's him and some very simple imagery up on the video screen of our players from the last game, or whether it's a theme night. And it's usually very cinematic. We're able to drop the lights. Mm-hmm. You know, you create sort of that theatrical feel, and he gives us that sort of epicenter to create that earthquake, if you will, because at the end of every piece, he'll crank his thunder buttons up there. He's responsible for all the thunder sounds, which come out of the organ. I don't know if everybody knows that, but
no.
He has his own sound system, believe it or not, around the catwalk. Next time you hear, look around the catwalk, you'll see 300 small speakers. That's all unique to the organ.
Wow.
And so he's able to have a more fuller sound than our regular sound system affords us. So he's able to shake the building, which is phenomenal. So we'll use him viscerally, we'll use him artistically, and then throughout the course of the game, we'll use him as a prompter, and he'll play the, you know, the standard range of organisms, for lack of a better phrase.
So the organ's one big part of the Tampa Bay Lightning presentation. The other one is that giant Jumbotron. What is one of the most favorite things that you can do with that? Because I feel like you get this thing, and then it's like, oh, there are so many things that we can make happen with this giant piece.
Well, you know, it's the chandelier in the room, right?
Right.
You know, it's in the middle, and it always has to be right. It has to always complement what is going on, whether it's in its game look, which is what you generally see every night, which is kind of a mix and a split and a framing of the stuff you absolutely need, which is the clock and the scoring and the shots and the face-off percentages and the penalties and the penalty times. Then you transition over to the sidewalls and the underscores of the board, and then you got your player stats and your team stats, and we try to pepper in as much of that as we can. If there's a penalty, we try to show the guy in the penalty box and in the side with his name. And so there's unique, organic stuff that is hockey-centric, and that absolutely has to be up there first and foremost. Then, you know, you incorporate the video into the big, you know, the video windows. And then you pepper around it. How you blandish around the video is your graphic execution. So we have a bunch of different looks for the board. Mm-hmm. And they, believe it or not, it's not just games. We have trade show looks and concert looks and things like that as well. But for hockey specifically, you know, when we're in that blackout mode, when we're in that theatrical mode, as I like to say, we call it the blackout, or it's our moment. And I've battled to make sure that that's just uniquely Lightning. Like, you're not going to see sponsor graphics. You're not going to see, you know, it's truly a show. So we try to amplify it, and we use the whole screen. We don't segment it. We use it as a full, huge piece of light bright for if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah,
like it's pixels that are just humming and singing to everything we're producing up there, whether it's our open or the skater kid going around or pump videos and things like that. Like that, when you see a full image up there, you know you're in. The team's about to come out to the ice is kind of that precursor. So it's we are lucky enough to have four motion graphic artists, a couple video editors and producers who will make and gin up all the content that you see up there. There are a couple signature pieces where we'll partner with some effect houses that have some more sophisticated graphic and production equipment that we do to create some of the more higher end pieces. And you know, honestly, let's face it, at the end of the day, the fans, first and foremost, there's two things they want to see. They want to see themselves and they want to see replays. And we try to accommodate that as much as we possibly can in the mix of everything else we have to do, because a lot of it is sort of sponsored and contractual that we have to execute.
So let's kind of talk about the ice projections, which really come into play, like the home opener, or once you guys, hopefully, knock on wood, get into playoffs. So can you kind of...
You mean when, right?
Well, I'm superstitious, so I'm like, I don't want to, you know, put the cart before the horse here, but, you know, sometimes you don't know, you have like a week before you know playoffs are happening, depending on where the team is in standings. Can you kind of talk quickly about that process? Like, how do you... Because that is... a heightened presentation than just
a
normal game.
And a lot of teams invest in the projections for the regular season. Mm-hmm. And I always feel like that dilutes the playoff experience because it's such a big piece. Mm-hmm. So we don't generally use ice projection during the regular season. We might, like you say, on opening night or on the tail end during Fan Appreciation Week. Kind of depends on how the schedule shakes out. Mm-hmm. But before we can get crazy and design all these funky 3D graphics and tell a story of the team's playoff march, which we did very well, I think, during 17 and 18. But last year, we really didn't get off the launching pad too well, as everybody knows. Hopefully, we can rectify that this year. So before you can get into that storytelling and epic presentation of music and lights and using the ice projection to enhance it all, first and foremost, you got to get this stuff hung in the building,
right?
And that's a tough challenge, because almost every March into April there's an event here in the building, a huge concert or something. Like this year we have WWE coming in that week of April 1 to 6, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're the home team in the first round of the playoffs, if or when we're probably playing on April 8th.
Oof.
And WWE doesn't load out of here until midnight, probably on April 6th. So that gives me like a day to have the room. And how am I going to hang all these projectors if we're the home team. So while WWE's in the way. So there's a whole logistical problematic set of circumstances you have to sort of navigate before you can start having fun with it, because you need about 2 days to install and then calibrate the system. Because really what it is, and if you guys can imagine it, it's we have to split the ice into six pieces because there's six zones of projection, because they have to project around that big board. And then those six zones are blended together on the ice to make it fully seamless. So it's a bit of a science, and I don't pretend to know all about it, but I do know we need time to do it. So it poses some logistical challenge. And then once it's up and running, then your creativity, or your crew's creativity just absolutely takes over, and they get so inspired to do just some funky things, because we don't normally have it on a regular basis. So, you know, we've done stuff from doing Mario Kart racing out there to Pong, to, you know, just turning it into a big video board, to all the epic sort of team introduction pieces that we'll do. So we've had a lot of fun with it when we have it, and luckily we've had it a lot over the last couple of years.
We can't forget about the Tesla coils, because they're very special to Tampa Bay. And I know you guys have incorporated something new at the beginning of the game this year. If you want to kind of talk about that.
Yeah, it's just a nice little accent. You know, we've had the Tesla coils for, since Mr. Vinick and Todd Lewicki and Steve Griggs back in the day, they sort of crafted this sort of renewed vision for what our game night should be. And I'm not sure, but I think it was Todd who said, we got to have, like, real lightning, or, you know, we don't have fangs, we don't have claws, we don't have evil eyes, like, you know, we're not the Predators. We're
a
not
gladiator
the
helmet.
Like, what's our icon? Our icon is a force of nature. So how do you replicate that? And and the genius of the Tesla coils is it's real. It's not fake. There's no shark heads coming down from the ceiling with, you know, carbon dioxide tanks attached to it. That was a shot, by the way. It's true lightning, and it's 100 feet of combined indoor lightning, and it's mystifying. I get mesmerized by it every time we hit the button. So we've mostly used that with goals and taking the team out onto the ice, and in the blackout it really pops, because it's, you know, it's light in the dark, so it echoes that, and combined with the new lighting system we have up in the game lights up in the ceiling, you know, we can flash those. We can really create a visceral sort of lightning storm in the building a little bit by strobing the game lights, because they're LEDs now. They're not incandescents that have to warm up anymore. Anyway, the Teslas are just, you know, have become a signature, so much so that the fan base, you know, for a long time has been saying, who's going to light the Teslas first tonight, you know, in the Twittersphere of conversation out there. So it's become a thing, and it's sort of ubiquitous with the facility and with the team now. You know, they're like natural lightning too. Like, they're unpredictable. So I don't know if they're going to shut down my intercoms or knock out a wireless camera or two. One time they shut down NBC's TV truck.
Oh.
They can be as challenging as natural lightning itself, but they are awesome. So I enjoy using them. And now what we've done this year, strangely enough, it took us 8 or 9 years to come up with this idea. And I think it was, I saw Vegas. They have some celebrities or some guests in Vegas. Mm-hmm. That's a nightly thing, right? But they have people who sort of, you know, they start the game by spinning that wonky siren.
Yeah.
So, again, the Teslas are our thing. So why not pick a fan or have a celebrity come up and hit that button and get us going, charge us into game time, which is literally what we call it. We're going to charge into game time. So it's become now, we've taken what is a tradition and we're just sort of amping it up a little bit, and it's working pretty well.
Well, if anybody ever, you know, calls in sick last minute,
we'll have to have you.
You know, Dory and I would be more than happy to help
Absolutely.
You out.
Absolutely.
We're always there to help. So we're speaking with John Franzone, VP of Game Presentation Production for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Something that I have really fallen in love with lately, and it's somewhat new, is the singing Freddie Mercury gopher. Repeat. Call and repeat.
Is it a gopher, a groundhog, or a squirrel? Sometimes I can't tell.
I'm not sure what it is.
I'm not sure.
Okay. But either way, he's doing the Freddie Mercury Deo. And at first I was like, what is this? And now it really gets a great reaction.
I'm telling you, it's funny. We played it last night, and we actually themed that out. Our artist, Stephen Nash, does a fabulous job with taking that and then steering it to a theme. So if you notice during the holiday game, he had a Rudolph nose on. Last night there were pirate ships behind him. So we've kind of themed him out, too. He's part of the show now as a performer. It's a wonky thing. I don't know exactly where it sort of took flight on the Internet in the sphere of silly videos out there, but certainly Bohemian Rhapsody sort of got that chant going, and I know other teams play it.
Okay.
I think that's where we took some inspiration from. We heard it on another team's broadcast. I can't remember which. And our graphics guy, Steve, he just jumped on it and just created it. And as we played it last night, I wasn't producing last night. My number two, Stephen Fry, he was producing last night. Mm-hmm. And as he's playing it, I'm listening to the crowd react. And it was as big a reaction as I've heard, again, because we've played it, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 times since the season started. So now they're getting it, or they know it's their job to join in.
Yeah.
And I was thinking last night as we played it, like, can you imagine 120,000 people at Wembley doing that? Because it was as loud here with 18, 19, 20,000 people last night as I've ever heard it. And I was just sort of doing the mental math in my head of how incredibly, what an experience that must have been back at Live Aid. But it's been a fun little addition to the game night roster. And we try not to burn it out. That's another thing, is like, you can't play it every night. You have to sort of give it a rest so that when it comes back, it feels fresh.
Yeah.
It's been a fun little addition.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I am a nervous ball of energy at games, especially the LA game. I was a nervous ball of energy. And when you guys played that, it just made me happy. So I appreciate it.
It's a fun little thing. And the thing is, it triggers a response. And at the end of the day, that's all we're really after here. If we're not showing you a video or showcasing a fan like the little kid who was the honorary captain last night, then we want to engage you in fun and energy. You know, at the end of the day, whether it's in your hand or on your phone, you have a ticket to a hockey game. Our job is to make that ticket feel special, you know. So that's kind of how we approach it. And the little guy doing the AO, he's just one sort of ingredient in that stew, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And we have just a couple minutes left with you. Of all the things that you've done with the Lightning in your tenure there, is there one thing that you are just maybe something your team came together on last minute and were able to execute, or some event or some thing that you are most proud of?
You know, I tell you, there's been a number of them. You know, the Medal of Honor night we had this year was amazing. The very first time we fired up Ice Projection in 2011 was amazing. I remember I had a couple people standing behind me where I was producing from, and they were actually crying because we knew we had taken that next level as an organization. There have been so many. Vinny's night, retirement night, Marty's retirement night, some of the Hockey Fights Cancer moments we've had out there. Mm-hmm. But there's one night that I don't think I'll ever forget, and it wasn't even a home game. Mm-hmm. It was when we were playing Chicago in the Stanley Cup Final, and it was Game 6. And we had done watch parties all over Tampa Bay, which is something that, you know, my team also supports the production of. We partner with our marketing department and put on these shows out in the community, also with our AVIT group. In any event, we did Game 6 here in the building.
Yep, I was there.
And there was nothing happening on the ice, yet we had a full house of it was, I almost can't put into words. It was just a remarkable night, a sort of a confluence of how a hockey game can galvanize a community and a fan base. And, you know, unfortunately we lost, but, you know, we had music and we did a whole Ice Projection show just for that game and there was no hockey game.
Yeah.
So, it was just a remarkable night, and I just can't put that one into words, but that's probably the one that's at the top until we're hoisting the cup.
Well, from your mouth to...
Right.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I really do, and I know Dory does as well, enjoy everything that you and your team do in-game, on the road, you know, when the team's doing watch parties and everything. And, you know, just because I've seen you work a little bit, I understand the undertaking that it is for you and your team. So if you don't hear it enough, we appreciate you and we love what you guys bring to Amalie Arena every night.
Well, that's really nice of you to say. And you know, in closing, it's a team effort. It's not one guy. It's not one vision. Like, it's a team effort to support, you know, our one of the best owners in sports, if not the best, and a great organization. So we're blessed and lucky to be in this position to do it. So yeah, we'll take that compliment with a slice of humility.
Thanks, John. We'll see you at the arena.
All right, look forward to it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and be back with more Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.